Welcome to Cloudlandia,
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Jackson.
Welcome to Cloudlandia.
Yes. And how is Christmas? I hope you had a white Christmas.
That's right. The white Christmas that we had was due to the white fluffy clouds in the sky. That was the only white we saw.
Well, we're snow covered here.
Are you at the cottage?
No. In Toronto. Okay. Yeah, it started snowing on Christmas Eve, and we woke up on Christmas morning, and it was completely white, and the temperatures were down in the 20s Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So it's been nice. 2 or 3 days. It's been, really quiet, no traffic, so things have stayed.
I love it. And you are on now full lockdown, huh? Is that my first?
Full lockdown, yes. I can, Babs and I are looking at each other suspiciously. That's how far it's gone.
Suspiciously, oh my goodness.
You know what I always said to people? They said, well, how are Canadians taking lockdown and the social distancing? And I said, well, Canadians already had a policy of 6 mile distancing from each other. So 6 feet.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Right. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well,
but Canada's very Scandinavian. I've been here. It'll be 50 years in June. Next June been here, and I've traveled in Iceland and Norway, Sweden, and I think when you get a certain degrees north, life takes on similar qualities, if half the year you can freeze to death, I think your notion about how you organize yourself becomes very social. You just kind of want to work out rules so that nobody freezes to death, I think latitude really, really accounts for a lot on the planet.
I think you're right. Though this year brings the close to a streak that I've been on for 54 years. And this is the first calendar year in my entire life that I've not set foot in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That is something, isn't it? I mean, that is, I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, kind of interesting. March 13th will be last time in the States. And I don't think we'll make it, because I think that what we're going to do probably in February is go to Arizona for 3 weeks.
Are you going to? Yeah.
Yeah, because David Berg has the vaccines. You take one dose, and then you have to wait 3 weeks and get the second dose. So Dave said he'd already set it up for us. So I think we'll get a nice place to stay, and we'll just go down there. So, but I've gone years without being in the States when I first came to Toronto. I think I've probably gone, a year and a half, 2 years at various stretches. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this just feels it just feels odd. But Dan, there's something. Breaking news from Cloudlandia this week. I don't know if you heard about
it. It's always news from Cloudlandia.
Yes. But here, this is going straight in the VCR Chronicles, because this is something that could not have happened any other place than Cloudlandia. Mm-hmm. And I want to dissect it with you, because it's something that, is taking the internet by storm right now. So on the internet, there is a creator on YouTube called Mr. Beast. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's one of the top YouTubers, and he's got 40 million subscribers on YouTube. Each of his videos gets, 30 million plus views that he puts out every video.
He is a beast.
Absolutely. Young guy, 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
And he just, without any hoopla or fanfare, without anybody even realizing what was happening, he opened on December 19th 300 Mr. Beast Burger restaurants on the internet, on Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Seamless, all the food things. Mm-hmm. Not in ghost kitchens, but in collaboration with independent restaurants who are preparing and selling his menu out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
300 restaurants opened in one day all over the country.
And that's great.
You could get it on all of those things, or you could download his app, and it became, when it could launch, it became the number one app on a million downloads of his app. And I think it must have been in the first 24 hours or whatever. But you just think about what that implication right now, like, how in the world, what would it take on the mainland to open 300 restaurants at one time?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been impossible. First off, mm-hmm. I wonder how long it took Ray Kroc to get to 300 McDonald's restaurants, selling them one by one all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are, December 19th, he launches it with a tweet that said, "We just opened Mr. Beast Burgers. We've been working on this for so long. You can now order Mr. Beast Burgers in 300 locations all around the country. Try it."
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That's his reach, because he had the reach to do, he had the vision to create Mr. Beast Burgers, aligned with 300 independent restaurants for their excess capacity capabilities. He wanted to
do it. Which they all have right now.
That's it. That was his thing. He didn't want to do ghost kitchens where he was going to staff them up and do it all all internally. He wanted to do it to support independent restaurants that were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
His whole thing is about philanthropy, basically. All the videos that he does is giving away money. It's all giving, helping people, giving away cars, giving away everything. And that just is, I think that's an amazing case study.
Well, the thing is that it's a bypass of bureaucracy. What it is, because he's only communicating with entrepreneurs and people who, would support that. And it, I've had a long thought about this, because when the whole thoughts about the free zone came up. And when I looked at my life, Dean, and I looked back, I've always been a volunteering type of guy, through my childhood and 20s. And my Army career was a master class in how you get where you want in a big bureaucracy by volunteering. Mm-hmm. I just had the greatest Army career of anyone that I've ever heard.
Yes.
In the sense that I did just what I wanted to do and mm-hmm. used volunteering as a way to kind of get my life. normal for me. I wanted to make my life normal when I was in the Army, you know, and it's a kind of tax, you know, the draft was a kind of tax on your time. Yeah, it was kind of tax on money, but it's more a tax on time. They just want you for 2 years. And they had me for 2 years, but that didn't mean that I had to do what they wanted me for 2 years. I could do anything I wanted inside the Army. And when I started taking a look at collaboration among entrepreneurs, I said, you have to have sort of a volunteering attitude towards it. In other words, you can't say, well, before we go any further, what's in it for me? Because that's the opposite of volunteering. You know, volunteering is you say, hey, I'm going to be useful and then we'll see where things go. I'm just going to make myself useful. And Mr. Beast sounds like he's useful. He wants to be useful. And he's just found a particular way. He's probably will find many other ways, but he's found a really terrific way in an unusual time under unusual circumstances to be useful in a way that completely bypasses any mainland structure except the person who owns the restaurant.
Yes.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? It's one of those things. It's the capability that all these
Dean?
Yeah, I am.
You're going to have to give a talk at the summit.
About, and we'll continue on.
About Mr. Beast.
Chronicles. Yes, of course.
Is it Dr. Beast or Mr. Beast?
Mr. Beast, yes.
Mr. Beast. So see, he's not, you know, he's not trying to make himself something he's not. He's just Mr. Beast.
But isn't that, I mean, there's just, I mean, you look at it, it's perfect.
It's a great brand, by the way.
It is, absolutely.
It's like, it's like Alice Cooper.
Yes. But, you know, Ben Hardy, I sent a thing to Ben that this was Mr. Beast 5 years ago posted a video that was, you know, talking about how he wanted to have, you know, 1 million subscribers. I mean, he only had 8,000 or something at the time when he posted the video, but he was living into his future self. You know, he would post a video, he recorded a video and delayed the post to release in 5 years. And so when it released, you know, here he is now at talking about his plans for the future, but he overshot by 30 million, you know,
39
subscribers.
Million.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, you never know how,
how
something's going to get out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't that, so there's just something.
It's a great, now you have to, and bring up your VCR again, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The next installment of VCR.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because that's certainly it. They had the vision, sound, the capabilities, excess capacity in independent restaurants that are struggling. And he's got the reach to bring people to through the back door, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an amazing thing. That's a perfect free zone collaboration.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Yeah, totally. Well, it shows, my sense is that these breakthroughs really, really happen when an entirely new capability that's utterly cheap, you know, like it has no cost to it, but it's a global capability that is literally there for the wanting it. You know, it's not that it's going to cost you anything, but you have to really want it to do this. And it's a great thing.
So it's pretty that's pretty amazing. You know, you think about the thing that drives it all is the reach that he has. That I think that's, I've been looking for, like, how do you weight the things, you know, like that vision and capability, anybody could have that kind of thing. There's a lot of people mm-hmm. who have that vision and can see those capabilities, but the reach is the multiplier, it feels like, in these mm-hmm. examples. If we take we take Kylie Jenner as the example, and we take the Lil Nas X as the example, that it was really the reach that was the driver, the multiplier of all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it shows what, but now he's essentially,
yeah,
got
well, I mean,
that,
today,
built that asset,
today,
you know?
Today for 1 week, Hay House is going with a 99-cent Kindle special again for 1 week between the from this Sunday to next Sunday for Hunet House. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We send it out to everybody, you know, saying, yeah, you know, and what a lot of people didn't know is you can order Kindles for a lot of other people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they've got a button you just push and just put in their email addresses and,
yes,
you know, it's 99 cents each and here's the deal, you know, so. But, you know, here's the thing that Zoom is certainly an example, you know. You know, over the last 9 months, they've gone 40 times. You know, they've gone 40 times their daily users from 10 million to 400 million.
Yeah.
And it's a, as far as I can see, it's a regulation and taxation free zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's suppose, you know, you had come to Canada over the last month or so.
Yeah.
How many regulation and taxation walls would you have had to go through, or gates would you have had to go through to get to Toronto?
Right.
Even supposing you could stay at the Four Seasons, I don't know if you could even stay at the Four Seasons, you know, where would you stay, you know? And I was saying, I don't have any sense since March that I've been required to go through any gateways, taxation and regulation gateways, to completely flip our company to virtual. And Peter Diamandis today just announced that they're going completely virtual for, you know, for A360.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, and because there's no way that I'm going to L.A. at the end of January. You know,
no like, chance.
You know, no chance whatsoever.
No.
And I mean, I think the U.S., I mean, I'm still in a situation where if I go to the States and come back, I'm quarantined for 14 days, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, so you can't.
Yeah, so,
what's the sentiment among the people you're talking to? Like, you know, I was just on one of the Boost, or what are you calling them? Those, the workshops.
Connectors.
The connectors, okay.
So connectors,
Last week or a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they're delightful. What's the take among the people you're talking to about the prospects of going back to live?
You know, I have no feel for it whatsoever. I have no feel. And my sense is until people have the freedom to make a choice, you don't know.
Yeah.
And,
right, we're speculating now. Right, yeah.
Yeah, and my sense is we do know that in the 10 times program, I probably have a good 100 who just refused to do anything on virtual. You know, they've just refused. They said, you know, we won't come back to virtual. And I said, you know, world's passing by.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I said, you wouldn't have harmed yourself if you had taken part in it over the last 9 months. I said,
right.
You wouldn't know less. You wouldn't be less capable. You know, you wouldn't. And so my sense is, you know, it's the, you know, the story about the guy who's, there's a sudden flood. And he's finally up on the roof of his house, but the waters are coming up, and a boat comes by, and you know, and the guy says, "Here, come down." And he says, "No." He says, "God will take care of me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know, and the story goes on and on, until a helicopter comes by and they lower a harness, and he can get in. He said, "No," and. And he says, no, he says, "God will take care of me." And finally he drowns and he ends up in heaven. And he's really got a bone to pick with God. He says, "Yeah, why didn't you save me?" And he says, "Well, you know, I sent the, you know, the rescue boat, I sent the helicopter, I sent everything, but you said no."
Exactly. Yes.
You know, so the whole point is, I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that every one of them will be a personal reason of some sort. I don't think there'll be any commonality.
Right.
And I think what they're up against is something inside themselves. They're not up against anything out in the world. It's
right.
Something inside themselves that they're up against, and probably this isn't the only issue that they're up against themselves.
Right. I agree. I'm loving the virtual, you know, how they say like a duck to water.
That's me too.
Yeah, exactly. I think you've really embraced it.
Well, I've simply made a decision that this is the rest of my life is going to be lived in expanding this world that suddenly came upon us, and that I just immigrated. You know, it's kind of like I just immigrated, and I'm in a new land, and the rest of my life is just going to be exploring and taking advantage of the new land.
And you think about what you've been able to do now, you know, opening up. How many workshops do you have now that are exclusively virtual? That were
the third one starts next week. First week in January, and we'll have about 90 total participants for the three workshops, which is good.
Right.
Now, which was good. And now the big thing was to swing the sales team over and, you know, and say, look, this is free for the taking. I mean, if you want to get interested, you know, I mean, salespeople, you always have to negotiate with, you know,
right.
You know, and, so anyway, I've been talking to them, and they said, well, our entire sales message about what's going to happen when they come to their workshop. And I said, yeah, well, they're still going to come to their workshop. Yeah, but we're going to talk about how they arrived. And I said, well, you don't have to talk about that. They just hit a click now, and they're there. So you can leave the social aspect out of it. But they were selling the social. They were selling the chocolate. And I said, the other thing is they socialize a lot more with Zoom than they ever did in person. They'd see each other one quarter, they go to dinner, but they wouldn't talk to each other. Now they're talking to people every couple of weeks on the intervening, you know, the 2-hour session. They're getting together. That now that they're using Zoom, they're deciding to get together as Zoom groups in between. I said, they're still socializing. They've just got a new social world where the transportation is handled. They don't have to think about the transportation, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
Oh, I love it. It's so,
I mean,
so you think about that though, you know, you went from, hey, we're locked down. it never entered your mind to do virtual until March 13th. And now, you know, here we are before the end of the year, you've started a multi-million dollar new division
Be, you know, in 10 years, this will be 10 times what our mainland was ever.
Yeah. I was just going to say, because that opens up now the rest of the reach is anywhere with internet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have to figure out how I'm going to do the in-person better when it becomes a possibility.
Right.
My feeling is that the learning that I've had from the last 9 months hasn't been about the in-person. It's been about, I keep exploring and finding new things that I can do. For example, what I'm going to start doing is trailers. I'm going to start doing trailers for the workshop.
Okay.
And that is, when you come to your next workshop, these are some of the major ideas that we're going to be talking about here. And, and I'll take people through, not giving away the workshop, but telling them the ways of thinking that we're going to explore in the next workshop. And I'll just send out a little, it'll be 5 to 10 minutes and we'll just chat through it and everything else. And that'll go out to people before they come to the workshop.
You know, there's a, when you're looking forward now, like to the expansion with the new capability of being virtual, are you targeting specific time zones or geographic regions now?
Well, right now we're using Greenwich time, London.
Okay.
And that gets us all the way to Mumbai. Like, we can do Mumbai. And actually, we get South America. I mean, because South America is very, very close to Africa. I don't know if you look at the East Coast. Only 1,000 miles from South America to Africa. So they jut far into it. So they're not the same distance. They're about 3 hours. Brazil, they're about 3 hours from Greenwich. So Greenwich, we have New York, and we have Los Angeles right now. Those are the three time zones. And the people who are in the Southeast Asia, New Zealanders, Australians, and, the three that would be big for us would be Singapore, Australia, and New Zealand right now. And they're used to dealing at odd hours with the rest of the world. They're used to getting up very early. They're used to staying up late. So, so we have 26 countries accounted for so far. They're all having, it's all English speaking. So they're used to, and I tell people, that English is about the most continuously spoken language in the world.
I bet.
I just read a history. It's called The Shortest History of England. And it was good promise, because I finished the book in about 2 days. And the thing that is really central to this entire 1500 years. So they were a Roman colony right up until about the year 500. And then the Romans pulled out because they had problems back at home. But there was a language which bears resemblance to the English language that we speak right now. And so this has been the one thing about this language is that it's completely open-ended for new words to come into the language, where other languages haven't been. Other languages, French being the outstanding example, where, they have to have a committee get together to decide whether a word deserves to be brought in. Yeah. Whereas English, if you come up with a word, you come up with a word and it catches on, then you got yourself a word. It's a free zone. English is a free zone language. And so, you know, I was telling people, people said, well, are you going to put the, you know, the strategic coach into another language? And I said, well, let me ask you this question. If you really want to be a big entrepreneur in the future, what life skill would be one of the ones you might want to have if you thought about going beyond your region, beyond your country? Is there a particular skill you think that might get further in the world? And they said, well, the internet? Yeah, I said, yeah, the internet would be part of it. But what are you doing on the internet? You know? And finally, I said, English. I said, it's a global language. And they said, well, you know, and I said, I didn't make it that way. I'm simply telling you that I think, you know, and, you know, the fairness comes up. But the other thing is, in 10 years, we'll have translators in your ear. If someone is speaking, you know, is speaking in one language, you'll hear them in your
language. It's already happening.
Yeah, it's already. It's already 95% good. You know, it's. So I said, it's not a problem. You know, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
The big thing we're going to have to watch out for, because we're just going through our first major legal case, regarding intellectual property. And I said, you know, we're going to keep an eye on it. So, I'm a great believer in property. And you are too, because you've majored in one particular marketplace activity called real estate, which I think is based totally on the concept of property. And I, you know, you hear all these things, and it'd be interesting with Mr. Beast. What it is that he owns here, you know,
the audience.
Look, he owns the audience. But can he sell the audience?
Well, yeah, I think that's really what he can direct the audience. I mean, make money is the, he can sell access to the audience. He can sell reach to the audience. That's really what it is.
The thing is, 10 years from now, do you think he's better or worse at it?
I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. I wonder how that will unfold, you know, because this whole phenomenon isn't even 10 years old yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, the big thing is, how does he have a future that's bigger than his past? And it's the number one issue with everybody, especially people who, become big when they're young. Like, I look at Mark Zuckerberg and I said, you know, Mark, the past is a lot bigger than your future. Are you there?
I am.
Yeah.
Like, I look
at the, what are called the masters of the universe. It's guys like Jack Dorsey at Twitter and everything. I said, I think your glory days are behind you. Certainly the glory days where you're seen as a positive force. Mark Zuckerberg will never be seen as a positive force again. Jack Dorsey at Twitter will never see. The Google guys, they'll never be seen. I mean, they'll be wealthy and they'll have their.
Yeah.
Their ownings and everything, but Mr. Beast is going to replace them. You know, there's little Nas is going to replace them.
I've been thinking a lot about the evolution of this. Like, I look back, I shared with you that we were watching the Men Who Built America and the story of us. I've been really going a lot of different perspectives on, you know, the history of stuff from the 1700s forward kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about that, how in the 1800s, it was the big pieces, the richest, you know, the big guys were Rockefeller and Carnegie and
Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So it was all the railroad and oil and steel, all the building blocks of everything. But, you know, you look at it now, is those things are just givens now in society, right? That as they mature, like the internet is just a given now. Google is just a given.
Well, it's a utility. It becomes a utility. It becomes, it takes on utility status. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you think about, you know, like electricity, and you get, they got rich once just getting it, building it all out over the country.
Medicine.
But then the big advance of electricity has been then the capability that that gave the visionaries. You know, that the visionaries who see that available capability now, it's almost like throwing, and I'm just evolving all of this in my mind, but it's like evolving these things, the pioneers creating new capabilities that are thrown into the, you know, capability mountain pile of all of the things that are available now. And the visionaries are the ones who get to put unique, new, novel combinations of those capabilities, I guess, for the benefit of many, many people through and the
One of the things that I find with America, and that's different than I think virtually any other place on the planet, is that you're given time on stage to do amazing things. But you're not guaranteed beyond a certain number of years that you're going to be on stage. And for example, the the wealthy families from 1900, I bet there's very few of them that are wealthy or important right now.
Right,
you know, like two or three generations and you're gone, and the whole system they'll give you a monopoly. For, you know, in other words, if you're big enough and you're creating enough value and it's cheap enough and everything else, you're granted kind of a monopoly for a while, but you're not guaranteed a monopoly forever.
Yeah. Ford, Hershey, in the early 1900s, you look at those. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's the thing that keeps everything kind of uncertain. I think that there's an uncertainty in American life that strikes you one way or the other. You either are kind of excited about that there's this uncertainty, or you're very paranoid about it, that there's this uncertainty. And it's strictly up to you which way it's going to go. And, you know, it's each person makes a decision about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. But how you feel about it doesn't have anything to do with whether it's going to happen or not.
And you look
get
at,
to play a game. Americans get to play a game. It's a big game. It's an unpredictable game, and you get to play this game, but you don't own the game.
And it's really, you know, I look at the things that, just in reflection on the things that have been the biggest wins for me, career-wise, looking back. Like when I think about Stop Your Divorce and doing the ebook with Homer McDonald, that, you know, I found him in 1998.
That's an American name, by the way. That's really an American name.
Homer McDonald. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean,
that could only happen in America.
Right on the cusp of being able to distribute electronic documents, right? PDFs were new then. And being able to then couple that with the search engines and the ability to buy traffic on search terms, you know, I had that for a long, good long run. And then same thing with the money making websites, with our real estate websites, being able to ride that wave of reach to people who are looking for real estate in specific areas, and being able to then license those areas. You know, that was a vision. You see that happening, I guess right now still it's Facebook is the place where we have that reach. Like, I just look at it now, we're running we're running ads that you get impressions like almost like a, I've been calling them digital postcards kind of thing, is a scroll on somebody's newsfeed is like a postcard, but we're able to deliver those postcards for, you know, 3 cents per postcard and get the same or better response than you get mailing physical postcards. And it's at many, many times at 20 times the cost. It's just something where you look at that as a unique opportunity right now. Who knows how that will evolve, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you get up each morning and you get a certain set of cards to play that day's game. It'll be a new deal tomorrow morning. But you do pick up skill that gets greater from, you know, my sense is that your vision can be grown, your capability can be grown, and your reach can be grown. These are capabilities, you know, I mean, they're all capabilities, but I'm, you know, really noticing, because I'll be 77 in May. And I said, what keeps getting better? And I said, I keep getting simpler and I keep getting more economical. In other words, that, and the other thing I've really noticed, I've become much more binary. Anything that I'm poor 100%.
Oh, I see.
And if it's not 100%, it's zero. Like, I don't have any middle ground in terms of, taking things into consideration, because it takes me a while to fix on something, but then if I'm fixed on it, I'm 100%. Okay.
We'll be an example.
And if I'm not, well, I think the Zoom that we were talking about, I'm now convinced that Zoom is 100%, and we'll have kind of people who have been very involved with us for 20 or 30 years who really liked the in-person. And I'll get 100% value out of seeing people in person. In other words,
I remember now, and that's an interesting, that is a 100% turnaround, because I remember before March 13th,
no, it's on March 6th. Somebody asked me the question, do you ever see Coach being virtual in the future? And I said, no.
No.
Can't see it. Exactly. I've looked at it. And somebody said, well, what if you have no alternative? And I said, well, then of course I'll go virtual.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
But I wasn't going to go halfway. Like, I wasn't going to dibble with it over the next 5 years or so.
And, right.
You know, say the COVID didn't happen. I wasn't going to spend any time diddling. Hey, maybe
New York is trying to convince people to go over there. Right.
No,
exactly.
No. Yeah. Now I let the world itself be the muscle here. I said, the world.
Gravity.
The law of gravity, I respect.
Exactly.
I try not to be against the law of gravity.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I try not to have an argument with gravity.
Yeah.
But once we went, I said, okay, it's 100% now. I said, the handling the request for in person, we'll deal with that when it comes up. But, I'm not giving any thought to that right now. And
I said,
it'll reveal its own reality when the time comes, and I'm not going to spend any time. So that's what I mean. I'm just noticing that with anything that I'm doing today, I'm 100% on it. I'm not, let's see how this works or anything else. I said, let's just go for it. And if it doesn't work, we'll know soon enough. If you use the strategy circle, I'm for vision and I'm for transformation and I'm for action. Okay. Yes. As far as obstacles go, I'll let the world do all the work on that.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't have to do the job of the opposition. The opposition will present itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I meant to ask earlier, what's the latest, what's the report on the Who Not How adventure?
Well, we're kind of in a little lull, but that's why they put the 99-cent Kindle in. And they did it. We didn't ask them for it. They did it. So they have some sense of this. You know, I mean, Hay House is Reed Tracy's been around for 30, 35 years. So he knows, he knows some sense about it. But what you do right around Christmas time. And,
yes.
And everything. But we're on to book number two now, which is going to be The Gap and the Gain.
Uh-huh.
So we're already into that, and they've already pre-described it, Hay House for 2021, that in October 2021.
Nice.
And
yeah.
Everything. And, we'll come in probably with this week and everything. We'll come in about three times what I thought we were going to be by New Year's. I thought 50,000. I said, if we have 50,000, readers, 50,000 readers, that is somebody who bought the book and is reading it. And we'll come in around about 150,000. And
that's great.
It's terrific. Oh, yeah, it's terrific. I mean,
yeah.
What's there not to like about it?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
And, so it's good. And we just had three people sign up for the free zone from 1st of December. So we've got this really great wealth manager from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and Richard Rossi's coming in. Richard Rossi comes in January, and another person named Brian Sweet, and he joined up. And Tucker came in December. Tucker Max came in December. So, we're starting to pick up. We're shooting for 25 more during 2021, and we're talking to about 40 right now. So I think 25 is doable.
Oh, that's great.
And
That's next week.
These are my farms. These are my farms. You know, I'm kind of a, I've got just seeds here, and I've got some little sprouts here, and some of them are starting to, and some of them are harvesting,
I like it. I can't wait.
By this guy, you've introduced me to Mr. Beast, and I'm going to have to check up that Mr. Beast, here's the thing. Mr. Beast will come along, and maybe there's a, Mr. Global Beast. I mean, there's these creatures who are going to come along, and it's not who it is, but there's going to be somebody who is number one in any new capability.
Yeah. And that's it. And being early makes a difference. I mean, Yeah, recognizing it early.
And the cloud, in Cloudlandia being early makes all the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really the thing. You know, this year, we just saw an article that posted, there was an article about the top 10 YouTube earners for 2020. And this is one of those, you know, have the vision early stories that in, I'd say 2009, my friend Lane Bowers had adopted a boy, Zane, and he was about four years old at the time, just as cute as you can imagine. And I said to Lane, this is when YouTube is starting to get kind of traction, you know, 3 years in. And I said, we should do a channel with Zane where he does toy reviews, right? Just show him playing with the toys. We created this whole thing, You Buy Toy Now. We had the logo. I had my art director, Fred, put everything together. We got all the socials. And then his mother put the kibosh on the idea. Didn't want him to be exposed like that.
Known to every pervert in the world.
Exactly. And now I always, for the last 5 years or so, one of the number one earner on YouTube last year was Ryan's Toys, $29 million last year of a young boy doing toy reviews has been the number one thing. It's exactly the show that we had imagined.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we were there. But you need the execution.
Well, the thing is, you have to give some thought about what it's going to do. You know, I mean, I understand the parental, you know. You know, the history of child stars hasn't been a good one.
That's true.
You know, I mean, generally, and I don't know if I ever told you my Mouseketeer story. I think I may have, you know, spent about 3 days with Doreen Tracy, who was among the first of the Mouseketeers. And she was 10 years older now. She was 23. And she was on a USO entertainment show in Korea. And I took care of the show for about 3 days in my part of Korea. And so I spent a lot of time in the back, you know, just.
How old were you at that time?
Well, we were both 23 at the time.
Oh, okay.
And, 22. We were both 22, so she was my age, and still strikes. She just died about a year ago of cancer. So she was.
Oh wow!
You know, she just died, and it popped up, and I went back and I read because I hadn't seen her. You know, I saw her for 3 days, and that was it.
Yeah.
But it was really fascinating because she said, you know. She said, I've been on stage since I was 3 years old. She said, I was a really, you know, really extroverted, talented little kid. And so she said, by the time I hit the Mouseketeers, I'd already had 10 years on stage. And she said, I could dance, I could tell jokes, I could do everything. She said, but I realized now at 22 that I was at one of these 10 years ago, that I'm never going to be a better entertainer in the future as good as I was when I was 12. It was very refreshing talking to her.
Yeah.
And she said, so now I have, this is my last entertainment trip of my life. And she says, now I have to go back. And she said, I'm going to start a whole new career and I don't know what it is. So that's the end of it. I didn't know what it was. Didn't have an internet phone, so you couldn't
hard
find
to
out.
Keep on
so
top
I went
of
back.
See,
she went back and she went through an apprenticeship program with Warner Brothers, and she became a talent manager. And okay. So she managed other people's talents. And one of the people that she managed right from the beginning was Frank Zappa.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And she had, you know, she spent from her early 20s to her early 60s being a talent manager for Warner Brothers. And apparently, yeah. You know, she was the one who held the Musketeers together. If they had reunions, she was the one who did it. She was just a total extrovert. I mean, she was just a total, you could just tell she didn't have an introverted bone in her body. And then she, you know, retired, and she started a jazz and blues club in Beverly Hills in Hollywood, right up until, you know, kind of the time that she died. But I always thought this was a remarkable child performer, that she could have that sense about herself and about her capabilities, because the stories of, you know, the tragedies of young people, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's another side to why the mother might have wanted that.
Yeah, I get it. I just always either look at the...
But somebody was going to do it.
Every year when those lists come out, I just send it over to Lane.
Somebody was going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That was, we were right. That gives you a good sense right there. Yeah. We were on the right track. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said, how did Mark Zuckerberg do it? And, you know, Steve Jobs. And I said, well, there was going to be somebody that did it. It turned out to be them.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. 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 You know, how does Tom Brady do it? Well, there was going to be one of them that was better and stayed longer than anyone else. And he's the one.
He's doing it in Tampa now.
Yeah. He just
here in Tampa. We just made the playoffs.
He broke. I think his next game, he breaks the record in most games by a quarterback.
Is that right?
In history, 299. I think it's 299 starter as a starter. 299 games. And his father was in the coach program for 10 years in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Tom Brady Sr. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Insurance agent. I think he was an insurance agent. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I never met him. I mean, he was just in the program. So,
right.
Anyway, so, so all sorts of good things. Well, this is Mr. Jackson. We've had other auditioners to be at the summit, but I'm afraid there's one person who has to be it, who presents the BCR message of the year, and I guess it's you.
Oh, that's great. I'm super excited. That'll be a great
We have Peter Zion coming as a outside speaker, so the United Nations guy. So it's all on virtual, so
yeah. Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be fun. That'll be great. And I'll be around next weekend, so we'll be on. If you are, that's great. Okay, perfect.
Great. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, Dan.